Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good glorious day to you. Welcome back to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. I've decided that lesser values than love will not serve me toward the greater purposes of and highest value of all in this wide world. All lesser values than love are potential BS. Last week I told you I was going to do a two-part series here on learning to live from the heart of love. Our heart is where love is the king or the queen. It's inside this throne room of where we live and breathe and eat and sleep. We talk to ourselves in there. We have internal dialogues with me, myself, and I, just the three of us together inside our heart. And that's where love grows or love dies. I'm challenging you to give love a resurrection in your heart. Give love another chance to live inside your heart. Give your heart the opportunity to be that queen or king of love again. Never, ever, ever be so broken down that you will not choose to love again. I've heard it said by many people, I'll never love again, and I am always quick to correct them. Not as a brutal thing or I got to be careful about uninvited advice. That's something we all have to be watchful for. But I'm often telling people, no, you will love again. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what the disappointment was. I don't care who did what, said what, how it came your way. You will love again, because we are born by love, through love, to love. We're on this earth eating and sleeping and drinking and recovering from exercise or exhaustion. We're not on this earth for hate. We're alive to love. We're not alive for lesser values than love. We're not eating, breathing, sleeping again to regain energy for causing injury. I'm alive with the plans and dreams and design of and destiny that's locked in anything and everything that is love. My purpose in life is to love, and it is also your purpose in life to love. So last week I also shared with you a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I want to repeat that again today, because this is how we learn to live from the heart of love, and it'll be something that I'll take some time again with you to talk through. And there are three basics here about how to learn to live from the heart of love. Here's Dr. King's quote. Somehow we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say to them, we will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. That's the heart. That's what I'm saying here. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. But be assured that we'll wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and your conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory then will be a double victory. Those words have held attention for me for several years, yes, but a few, more than just a few decades. These are words from Dr. King where he is absolutely determined to shoot for the bullseye of love and to tell people clearly that love will be the engine that will drive and motivate the civil rights movement for his condition and situation. But it'll also not only be the motivation, but it will be a double victory, because not only will we be motivated only and solely by love, we will not only win our rights and get justice, we will win you in the process. We will turn enemies into friends through the soul force, the force of a heart that is alive to love. You say that's not possible, and I say we are on this earth for love, which means we're on this earth for the impossible to be made possible. So please, please hear me when I say, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that this is an easy process whatsoever. I am saying simply that we're here to be a people of purposed engineering, purposed scientific research, purposed research about how do I get myself baptized? How do I get myself put into the full development of love in my life? And I shared last week, I'm going to say it again today, that we have to learn to live from the heart of love. So last week we talked about two items that will teach you how to live from the heart of love, and that is, first of all, you got to learn to ask yourself hard questions. Now, I don't want to repeat that in its entirety here, but just to recap it briefly, we all have our mirror discussions, right? That mirror dialogue when you're shaving or brushing your teeth or you're putting on your makeup, whatever it is you're doing, you're looking in that mirror and suddenly you're having a conversation with somebody that you want to ask hard questions of. I propose to you that we ought to be asking ourselves hard questions. So have that mirror dialogue with you. Ask yourself hard questions. How am I engineered in this life by my experience? How has my heart been treated through the years? And how have I treated my own heart through the years? Because as you learn to live from the heart of love, you've got to get to the rock bottom of why your heart contemplates and holds injury the way it does. Why your heart then shoots messages out through your mouth that you wish you hadn't said. Why is that heart so engineered in that capacity? The only way to find out is to ask yourself hard questions. In the 12 steps of AA, we are told that we have to find a way to involve ourselves in a fearless and searching moral inventory, to discuss with somebody else and with ourselves, why am I who I am? Not to do it with self-loathing or to be in a shaming mode where you just break yourself down, not at all, but at an honest exploration. Finding out how you got to be who you are, where you are, so that you can go from there to better places, so that your life is far more, so that your life is far more vulnerable. That's the word I want to use, because it'll take me to another quote I'll take you to later in the broadcast. Far more vulnerable than what you've learned easily to do. So ask yourself hard questions as number one of these three items under living from the heart of love. And second of all, get help from someone else. Find someone in AA that's a sponsor, someone who can help you find a way to ask yourself hard questions. Ask yourself, who's in my life that I can invite? Now, listen to me carefully. The invitation for someone in your life is critical at this point. Don't just wait for somebody to show up and start critiquing you and criticizing you and being brutal to you. That will not work. That is not a way to live your life. Because if you're in that aim of others to tell you everything they think about you, you're going to become a slave to what others think about you. So what I'm talking about here is searching for a trusted, valuable family member or friend or professional counselor, somebody who has the knowledge of you in a way that's helpful to you. I shared last week from my own story that in my late 30s and early 40s, I had to lay down my professionalism as a lifelong pastor, that I couldn't get help from somebody else. That was a crippling emotion in my life. There was a crippling internal conviction that getting help was somehow destructive. It was somehow the wrong move. I had to get past that. And, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, advice we listen to, but pain we obey. And when the pain in my life was great enough, I finally made a few inquiries and calls, and I found some people that I trusted with my heart, my thinking, and yeah, my heart, because today we're talking about living from the heart of love. I found somebody that would I could trust my heart in their hands. Not that they would turn it into some kind of basketball. They'd dribble around the court and throw a long shot for 3 points to try to save my life. No, no, no. Somebody who would treat my heart with the kind of care and kindness that all of our hearts deserve. Every human heart deserves care and kindness, but it also deserves honesty from somebody who you trust. So this leads me to my third item under the topic here today of living from the heart of love. We started last week, and I'm going to finish. I'm going to spend a little extra time on this particular third item. And that is it's going to take a little bit of time to explain. I believe it is our secrets that hold us in prison. It is the secrets that we keep that keep us from becoming fully bloomed and fully blossomed in all of our pursuits of love. A secret will trap you in the basement of shame. A secret will trap you in the forever great escape, trying to run away from a secret that you cannot outrun. If I've ever in my life done myself the great favor of vulnerability, of getting my secrets out, if I've ever done it, I've always come away going, wow, why did I hold that secret for so long? Every time I've found some secret that trapped me or imprisoned me, and when I found the courage to lay it out in front of somebody that I trust deeply, I discovered a freedom, instant freedom. But now let's flip that coin over, because on the other side of the freedom of honesty, there is this prison of dishonesty that will trap your heart away from the full bloom and blossoming of your love. You'll always be running somewhere, trying to hustle your way toward self-worth, trying to hustle somebody into looking at you the way that you hope they'll look at you, when in reality you're just not being authentic. I turn to someone no less powerful than Brené Brown. She's written a book on vulnerability, The Power of Vulnerability. You can look her up online. Her TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability is one of the top 10 most viewed TED Talks in the world. It's had almost 30 million views. Brené has appeared on Oprah. She's a number one New York Times best-selling author. And she started this research on vulnerability as a statistician, as a clinician. She didn't intend to go at it in a philosophic manner. She didn't intend to go at it as a psychologist or a counselor. In fact, she said she found herself loath to think in those ways because she was so numbers oriented. But the research she did into vulnerability, about getting your secrets open to yourself and to someone else you trust, seeing the statistics about that convinced her that it was time to offer this as a philosophy of life, that vulnerability was really power. Being freed of your secrets is going to release you to be alive to love. So let me read something, a quote from Brené Brown that really, really resonates with me. She said, "You either walk inside your own story and you own your story, or you stand outside of your story and you hustle for your worthiness." So what's the greater risk? Letting go of what people think of you, or letting go of how I feel, what I believe, and who I am? That you don't have to chase extraordinary moments to find love. It's right in front of you if you're paying attention. Listen to that carefully. Oh my goodness. Let me repeat it. You either walk inside your own story and own it, or you stand outside your story and you hustle for your worthiness. So what's the greater risk? Letting go of what people think of you, or letting go of how you feel, what I believe, and who I am? That you don't have to chase extraordinary moments to find love. It's right in front of you if you'll be really honest. Get free of those secrets. You know, through my exploration of life as a pastor, I'm going to tell a little bit of a story I hope you'll find humorous. I hope it amuses you. And I mean that in the honest the most honest way I can tell you. I hope this is amusing to you because for me, it trapped me. This secret trapped me. It was so, I don't know how to say it. It was just terrifying, but it turned out once I was honest about it to be actually kind of funny. So I grew up in a religious understanding of how to live your life in a very tightly protected form of do's and don'ts. I didn't grow up with that specifically, but I grew up in a faith system. When I came to faith as a high school young man and went on into college, Bible college actually, I was taught a very strict code of ethics that we had to just be so careful about, you know, any kind of, we called it worldly entertainment. We called it, we just called it being worldly. You couldn't go to movies. You couldn't listen to certain music. You most certainly couldn't dance. There are a lot of things like that, you know, I look at now at 67 and I'm amazed that I was so trapped in that narrow definition. Well, so my wife will listen to this with me, and I know she and I will both get a look at each other as we listen to this somewhere down the road. And when we got married, we were, I was 21, she was 19. My, I cannot believe as two children we decided that we're going to live a whole life of love for one another. And guess what? We've just about done it in our mid-60s. But we took on that dare of love, and we got married in 1974 on the day Richard Nixon resigned the presidency. And on our wedding night, we had a nice hotel, and we went there for our honeymoon. And in that honeymoon suite, there was a free bottle of champagne. The hotel knew we were there as a young love, young married couple. We were there on our honeymoon, and there was a free bottle of champagne. Now, let me take a step away from that for just a moment. That, as I said earlier, my religious instructions taught me, we do not drink alcohol, period. End of story. No conversation, no gray areas. There's no such thing as a toast of champagne on your wedding night. So that was, nobody said that, but it was implied very clearly. We do not drink. We do not smoke, and we do not chew, and we do not go with girls who do. That was our mantra. And so on that wedding night with that bottle of champagne, Ginger and I looked at each other, and I took the lead being the man of the house. 21, I was so ignorant. But I said, honey, we can't do it. It would break the rules. We can't toast our wedding night with a bottle of champagne. I rationalized it this way. I said, surely we could keep it a secret. But then if somebody asks me, I'll have to tell them, yes, we drank on our honeymoon. So we did not. I don't know. I don't even remember what we did with that bottle of champagne. It didn't go with us. That evil brew just did not follow us. But what I know is this, that secret for me was sacred. And I kept that rationale in my life for the very longest time. And I was so afraid of even suggesting to anybody. So what part of what came out of that was I was afraid to even tell anybody that we had been given a free bottle of champagne on our wedding night. That's how deeply ingrained this was for me at that time. And so I came to realize, now I'm telling you this story, which seems a little silly now, but I'm telling you this story to help you understand that this is how secrets work in our life, whether we, commit a deed in secret or we don't. We just have this secret, and it just seems to be something we got to keep close to the vest, and we don't dare share it with anybody, because what would happen? What would they think of me? And it illustrates for me how easily and quickly even the simplest of secrets can trap us, can get us in a corner where we don't feel like we can really express ourselves or be ourselves. That's the point. That if you're going to love others as fully as you could ever dare to love, you've got to be free from your secrets. Secrets imprison us. but honesty sets us free. The truth will make you free, as what Jesus said. The truth will make you free. That isn't always truth coming to you that helps you see something. It's also truth that comes out of you to say, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. You know, in fact, as I share this little secret of our wedding night with you about that bottle of champagne, it's freeing for me. It's joyous to me. It helps me to see me in a little better light. I've come from such a long way in my journey of faith and my journey as a pastor. That, you know, if I had that 21-year-old boy to counsel now, as a 67-year-old pastor, I would look at that 21-year-old and say, oh, son, why don't you toast your wedding night with that bottle of champagne? If nothing else, just have a glass of champagne just to give you and your bride the moment of celebration that you have discovered a whole new life together. Secrets will imprison us. But honesty sets you free. And even if the honesty is just as simple as this one thing I shared with you, it's just a simple little set of honesty, a set of honest words that tell you, yep, that's what I come from. And that's what helps me be true to me. And so I want to return to Brené Brown's comment here again. You either walk inside your story and own it, or you stand outside of your story and you hustle for your worthiness, or I would say you hustle for love. Don't ever, ever be so trapped in your secrets that you find yourself trying to hustle love. Be you, not in the face of other people, not in spite of other people. Be yourself. Be true to you without a need to punish anybody with who you are, but simply the need for your own value to rise up out of self-love, out of a love for yourself that is healthy and beautiful. It's because it's only when you are discovering your own self-love that you can grow in love toward others. Learning to live from the heart of love isn't an easy process. None of my discussions here with you on alive, being alive to love are easy, but it's worth the labor. It's worth the exercise, the research, the honesty, the inventory that you take with yourself and with someone else. It's worth having people in your life who speak truths and counsel to you. It's worth it because it expands your view of the world. It expands our capacity to love like God. For God so loved the world. Do you really contemplate how deep and wide and specific that is? For God so loved the world. Every enemy, every criminal, every broken soul, every destructive person. God so loved the world. He didn't hold higher love for one and lesser for another. His love is at full steam for every human being ever born, ever alive, and ever to be born. For God so loved the world. Well, that's the enormity of that. The universe size of that is the capacity to which he's inviting us. Made in God's image. Come love like I love. And you know right away, don't you? That's not going to be a day-long study. It's not going to be a half an hour listening to Bishop Brandy Dean, the no BS bishop. This is going to require my life. It's going to require my commitment. It will require my heart, that my heart would be alive to love, that my heart would leap from the lovelessness that it can too often get accustomed to into the lovefulness of a real life for love. I started last week, and I reminded you this week of a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, we must stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, we will match your capacity to inflict pain by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. You do to us what you will, and we will still love you. And then he concluded that comment by saying, we'll win a double victory. Not only will we win the priorities for which we are reaching in civil rights, but we will win our enemies and make them our sisters and our brothers. That's being alive to love. So let me conclude this broadcast of this No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, with the two things that I love to do every time we gather for this half an hour. And the first is I want to teach you, I want you to practice with me how to breathe in the middle of stress and struggle. Breathe deep. Draw a deep breath into the bottom, the basement, the foundations of your lung. I want both lungs. Make sure you do this, not just with an exercise with me, but you do this through your day, off and on, to routinely bring yourself to the center of love. Here we go. On a count of three, I want you to take a deep breath. One, two, three. Breathe in and exhale. Once again, let's do that beautiful exercise. Breathe in on the count of three. One, two, three. In and exhale. Remember, when you're stressed, when you're uptight, when you're feeling life is pushing you so hard you just don't know what to do, breathe. That's the most basic element of all of life. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like air, like breath. And so when you breathe, you're reminded, this is the most essential thing I can do in this world. The second exercise is this. I want you to find somebody. Maybe there's somebody nearby you right now. Tap them on the shoulder. Just give them a moment of attention and say, hey, look me in the eye and say to them three magic words. I love you. It will be awkward for some, but please understand, we need to break this ice of lovelessness that goes on far too much when we're not living from our hearts. Remember this, when you come here to this No BS Bishop, I'm going to tell you that. I can't see you through the recording. I can't see you through the broadcast of the podcast, but I can pass these words to you with authenticity. I love you. You, whoever you are, I've joined God in his pursuit that he so loves the world. I want Randy to be one of those created in the image of God, human beings, who says to the world, I love you. I will love you, and I will, like Dr. King said, I will win a double victory. I'll not only win the satisfaction of justice for all, but I'll win the beauty of turning enemies into friends. Now, go out there in this wide world and do something beautiful. Pay it forward. Do something beautiful because, oh, my, ugly, oh, baby, ugly. It's been done to death. Come on, rise to the shining of love today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been a pleasure once again for the beauty of your company.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.